I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. And I'm very excited because later I'll be talking to the newly elected chair of the Garden Media Guild. She's a gardener at Stocktonbury and an in-demand speaker on all things horticultural. It's Tamsin Westhorpe. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast. We had a really heart-moving event at Cooling's Garden Centre last week when school children from two schools in the area came into a really big greenhouse that also accommodated a fair number of retired folk. We called it an intergenerational event, and the choir from Charlton Manor School especially sung without any accompaniment, youngsters from about 6 to 9 or 10, and I tell you, they sang their hearts out. It was a tremendous event. The old folk absolutely loved it, and at the end they were all given a poinsettia to take home. So it was a really good event, and one that I hope that we'll be able to expand on in December 2019. We certainly learned a lot from that particular occasion, and my thanks to Cooling's for all they did to make us all so welcome. The weather last week was really quite comfortable for December, and you need to keep on with the winter tidy up. You know, the last of the leaves are pretty well down now, so we can get all those raked and tidied up and composted. I'm afraid I haven't got my back lawn mown yet, and the one that I did mow at the front has already started to grow again, so if we do have one or two days with the wind drying, I must just get the top clipped off at a bit. The information I have from Garden Trade News is that the last weekend, November, December, saw the biggest garden centre sales for the last only recent years, probably the biggest sale ever. All looks very good and promising, particularly as there's no heavy snow forecast such as we had last year. So it looks as if you're still visiting the garden centres, and certainly I'm still busy out in my garden. Might be December, but the gardening world hasn't closed down. Richard Jackson, I hear, after 24 years, is stepping down as QVC's gardening presenter. He will still be seen talking about his flower power products and is extending his range into plants next year. I wish him well. Another great fertiliser entrepreneur, Richard. You know, he's sort of following in the steps of Doc Dave Hassan with his baby bio, with Bobby Manners and Fostergen, and Horace Hagedorn with Miracle-Gro. Now we have Richard Jackson with Flower Power. Wish him well again. Oh, and another three Wyvale garden centres sold. This time, Enfield, one of a string of garden centres in what a number of us call the Golden Mile in Enfield. I mean, that's gone to a private investor, but will continue to operate under licence for a year. And then Wellingborough, Wyvale, has gone to Higgins Landscape and Garden Centres, and Wold's View to Woodthorpe Hope Hall. I think that breaking up that big chain and getting more independence operating those centres will be very good for them. I like the energy of single human beings driving centres wherever possible. And the Garden Centre Association is just announcing its best festive Christmas display competition, won by Barton Grange Garden Centre and also, for a smaller turnover, Castle Gardens in Sherborne. There are area winners too, Ruxley Manor at Sidcup, Whitehall Garden Centre at Laycock and Whitechurch, Perrywood in Tiptree, Essex, and the Sunshine Centre in North London, St Peter's and Fairways in the Midlands, Frangor, Tong and Coletta and Tyson in the north of England. So if you're into Father Christmas and all that sparkly stuff, then those are the places to go for really big displays. A Fluoroselect to the organisation that promotes flowers from seed, particularly summer bedding, has just drawn attention to the People's Choice Award from their French marigold trials. And the winner is a French marigold, Lumia Vanilla Cream. That came first. Second was Durango B from Pan American. And third, Pots of Gold from Thompson and Morgan. It's interesting how the People's Choice Awards go for things which are quite different to the professional judges. There was only one that was common to both, and that was the Zenith Red. That marigold trial, incidentally, was also staged at Cotswold Wildlife Park and in Europe at the Jardin des Plantes Paris, at the Ego Park in Erfurt, Germany, and at the Taoiseach Research Institute in Dublin. So marigolds had a pretty good doing this year. And next year, it's the turn of nasturtiums. A bit of advice too this week. I've just pruned back my climbing rose Guinea, a really dark red fragrant rose. It was thrashing about in the wind, and so I've reduced that and pretty well done the spring pruning just to make the wind resistant much less. And I've been repotting some roses in containers too, just knocking them out the pot, taking off some of the old compost and replacing it with new. I'm using loam-based, a fair bit of John Innes, to give a bit of weight. You know, roses like some heavier stuff to get their roots into. Oh, and don't forget the weeding. I've just noticed a number of seedling weeds getting going amongst hardy cyclamen and dianthus in pots. If you can get them out while it's small, it's so much easier. I'm still cutting some flowers from that new cut flower dianthus from Wetmans. The red one, Red Carpet, makes a perfect buttonhole. There's three there, a red, a pink and a white. I think they're going to be very popular. Don't forget, too, that the chrysanthemums in the garden, they need to be lifted and boxed up, put into a cold frame or somewhere protected so we've got cuttings next spring. Plenty to do.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalised plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Our guest this week is a lovely lady that I've known for some years. In fact, we've written for the same amateur gardening magazine for several years. And really, it's quite an exciting time for Tamsin Westhorpe, because last week at the Garden Media Guild Awards, she was voted two rather special things. First of all, joint chair of the Guild itself, and to my mind, really very exciting. She won the Marcus Harper Award for services to the garden photographers. Marcus Harper, really lovely man, died just a little too soon. And to have his memory recorded by an award to Tamsin, I think was fantastic. Were you excited when you heard the news, Tamsin?
Yes, I was so shocked. I think it's the most shocked I've ever been. My legs would hardly carry me up to the stage. It was just so amazing and totally unexpected, and something that, you know, to have that award in the name of Marcus is incredibly special, and I feel very honoured indeed.
He was a real lovely man, wasn't he? A real gentleman, yeah.
Yes, and it's lovely that he will be remembered every year and, you know, by so many every day. So
yeah. And you were actually voted for, you know, it wasn't a sort of judged thing. The membership actually vote. And so I think with those membership awards, somehow you feel more comfortable with them. General acclaim. Now, Tamsin, how did it all begin? You know, when did you start in horticulture? What first fired you to become a great gardener?
Gosh, well, my mother told me a really lovely story the other day. We lived in a boarding school in Surrey where my father was bursar, and we lived in a schoolhouse within the school, and there was a concrete pad in the garden. And I asked my father what used to be there, and he said, oh, probably a greenhouse. So I was about 8 at the time. So I put on my Christmas list a greenhouse, and my parents bought me a terrarium, like a sort of bottle garden. And when I unwrapped it, I said to them, apparently, that it just wouldn't be big enough. So in the end, my father had to build a greenhouse on this concrete pad. And mother was telling me that she found in the airing cupboard, amongst balanced on top of all her sheets, lots of seedlings in yogurt pots. And they all dribbled down into her laundry. So it wasn't a very popular choice at the very beginning with my family. I remember clearly saying to my father, you know, hurry up, you're being too slow building this. So, but I think really I've been so fortunate growing up in a family that is very appreciative of horticulture. My uncle at Stocktonbury was creating the garden. He started to create the garden when I was a very young girl, and I've watched him do it. And I think that is what has definitely inspired me to make this my career.
Well, let's just take it sort of year by year before we get on to Stocktonbury, which is one of the main reasons I wanted to speak to you today. From that early childhood experience, and it's interesting, isn't it? A number of key names in the horticultural industry. I'm thinking of people like Alan Titch. Oh, and goodness, the Yorkshire lady whose name eludes me for a minute. Christine Walkden. Just a packet of seed and away they go. And it was it was the same with me, you know, just with two or three tomato seeds as a very young age. And so from starting at home, then what happened?
So I worked my way through school, not very successfully, I don't think. But actually at school, we had an art teacher called Mrs. Henk, and she cleared an area of the wood at school. And it was beautiful. She had little pathways and we would go and have lessons in the wood. And actually, that really inspired me, that we would go down there and watch the seasons change within our school time, which I think a lot of children don't get to do that. So I'm very grateful to her for creating this little wood that we used to go and sit and chat in. And I loved it. It was a real escape from normal school life. But from there, I left school at 16 and was sent to Herefordshire to live with my grandparents. I'm not sure my parents knew quite what to do with me. They'd sent me on a secretarial course, which I failed miserably. So I was sent to Herefordshire, Stocktonbury, to work with my great uncle, John Treasure, at Burford House Gardens. And that was fantastic. He was very strict with me and taught me how to weed. I watched him move plants, you know, a few inches to the left, to the right. I was kind of his legs when he got quite elderly for a year. And it was a real joy and an honour to work with him, actually. I was very, very lucky.
He was one of the great names, wasn't he?
I had no idea, really, that he was so well thought of. And, you know, he was great friends with Christopher Lloyd, Beth Chatto, but it all went completely over my head. It was just the fact that I was there in a lovely garden. From there, he suggested, I think, he probably had enough of me, that I should go and be educated. So I was sent to Sparsholt College in Winchester, and there I did a year's course on interior landscaping, so focused on houseplants. And if I'm honest, I only signed up for that course because I didn't like the idea of doing any more than a year. I thought it sounded awful returning to education. But after a year, I realised it was great and signed up for another three to do decorative horticulture.
Goodness, so you're pretty well trained then, Tamsin.
One of my college lecturers was David Hurrian, who's a garden writer. So he's been very helpful to me and encouraging in my career as well.
I didn't realise that David had lectured at Sparshall.
Yes, he was a very good lecturer, very good.
Yeah. And so then where?
So from Sparshall College, I went to work at Bournemouth Parks Department. I had a great aunt in Bournemouth, and I think it seemed sensible someone should be near her. And I worked in the lower gardens by the sea, and I was probably one of the first females to work at Bournemouth Parks. We had this lovely tin hut sort of by the pavilion opposite the Royal Bath, sort of nestling in some rhododendrons. And I hope to goodness it's still there because it was rather gorgeous.
If anybody's listening, you know, can they rush out and see?
Yeah. Is the tin hut still there? And it was, I absolutely adored it. I have to say that this is the happiest I've ever been in my life working with those guys. It was fun. It was a really good team. It was a beautiful place to be. We were by the sea. I learned a tremendous amount and got incredibly fit because it was tough work. Yeah, it was just complete joy because I remember we used to go for holidays in Dorset to see my great aunt, and we would walk at night through the lower gardens, and it was all candle lit in the summer. And I always thought that the flower beds were created by fairies because they were also covered in candlelight. And they were so beautifully formal. And so to actually work on them and create those beds, it was just brilliant. I absolutely loved it. And after working in the parks for probably 8 months, I was then moved on to the bowling greens at Merrick Park. And again, another lovely group of guys. And we would mow the greens really early in the morning, so up at 5:30. And I used to cycle along the seafront from Alum Chine to Bournemouth on my bike at sort of, gosh, 4:45 in the morning.
That was just,
when I look back, I think, what a romantic thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to start work like that.
And don't you miss those seaside, really beautifully grown and planted borders?
I mean, absolutely, I do. Yeah, I visit a lot. I love the sea, but I think I'm probably a country girl at heart. It's lovely to be able to have lived two sort of lives. And what is amazing is the soil difference between Dorset and Herefordshire. It's like a totally different hobby. Things grow in Herefordshire. So, yeah, it's been a great experience working there.
And so then, where from Bournemouth Parks?
So Bournemouth Parks, oh, my goodness. I ended up at Secrets Garden Centre in Surrey.
Tamsin, yes? I worked on the design of that.
Did
the Secrets
you?
Garden Centre, yes.
Yes, because my parents were obviously still working in Surrey, so I was there for a while.
Right.
And I remember Penelope Keith being a customer in the garden centre, and it was all very exciting, you know, who would be able to answer her questions. That was great.
Yeah.
And from there, I went, gosh, I've danced all over the place. Back to Stuart's in Wimborne, garden centre there, and I did some more interior landscaping. I really moved into garden centres, to be honest, after the parks, which I found equally exciting. And then I got an opportunity to join a magazine as a real junior, I think literally unpacking boxes and making coffee at IPC magazines that was in Poole. So I had no intention of becoming a writer because I just about got a GCSE in English. And I'd never used a computer before in my life when I started at the magazine.
Tamsin, don't tell anybody. I failed English at level.
That's brilliant. I love it. You know, I think what gives you the edge and what helps you is failure. It sounds terrible, but I really struggled at school. And when I was put into this, given this wonderful opportunity on a magazine, I was so terrified that I would double, triple check everything.
Yeah.
And you know
yes.
you know nothing. So you take every bit of advice that you're given. And I think learning through fear is quite useful in some respects.
Well, it helps you to remember, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yes. You don't seem to make the same mistake twice.
No.
Well, hope not.
With IPC, that's where you and I came together at Amateur Gardening then.
Yes, and I eventually ended up, after working on your garden, at Amateur Gardening. But before I started at Amateur Gardening, I did have a small shop in Wimborne in Dorset. It was something my father said I needed to get out of my system. And it was really fascinating to me, actually. This is where I realised how much I just adore people and their reactions to horticulture. So I was selling gardening wellies and trowels and forks, etc. And you know, it was a really interesting time for me. And it's funny how you look back on things you've done and you think, well, that was very useful, actually. When I became editor of the English Garden, I now know how to order paper bags. I know how much money people are happy to spend and what level of knowledge they have. So the shop was actually very useful to me. And within that time, I also lectured at Kingston Morwood College, the RHS certificate. So I met some wonderful students there. I used to work there on a Monday when the shop was shut. And some of them are wonderful, and they still come and see me at the garden and we stay in touch. So that was again something that I did through fear. Loved it. It was just wonderful. So I learned to communicate, and I also learned the most important lesson, that if you don't know something in horticulture, just admit it, because you'll soon be caught out.
And that's quite important. You need to be quite brave to say, sorry, I don't know, but I'll find out.
Exactly.
I wish more people would do that. I think
you can't know everything. I mean, I do a lot of talks now and people feel sort of, oh, gosh, my Latin plant names aren't that good. But, you know, who knows everything? Nobody. A lot of people have specialisms. So, and I think if it's worrying you that you don't have the knowledge, that's such a shame, because it takes the sparkle off gardening. So I think people should relax, really, about what they do or don't know.
Yeah, but Tamsin, you slipped in there the editorship of the English Garden.
Yes.
I mean, that's a fantastic, high-quality monthly magazine. You know, we should underline the fact that you were editor of that, August.
That came up, really. I worked for Amateur Gardening and I loved it. I absolutely loved the weekly magazine, and Tim Rumble was my editor and he was fantastic. It's just a really happy time again, and I think weeklies really do need to be praised for the amount of work they do and how timely, you know, how relevant they are. But I got asked to apply for the job at the English Garden by a publisher. I think, really, bless her, she said that they couldn't find anyone else, because it was based in Cheltenham at the time, and someone had obviously said that I was from Herefordshire. So it was a really lucky thing for me, a lucky break. And I had a wonderful team there. And it was a real, it was a real challenge for me initially. And again, stepping into a role that probably on paper I shouldn't have. I'm very grateful for that opportunity.
But it's quite different writing a column to actually editing the magazine. I mean, you become a sort of people manager, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that is where my lecturing and my parks, you know, working in a team is just a joy. I love working in a team. I love the people that you have around you. But I think really editing, it's underestimated what it involves. You've got to have a good eye for pictures. You've got to be a good negotiator. You've got to know and understand your reader. You've got to be good at being in meetings. And you've got to deal with your advertisers. You've got to create a relationship with them because they're equally as important. And keep coming up with ideas. So it's a job that is, it's varied. It really is. And I think if you do that for a while, you know, you take your hat off to people that do it. It's not easy, but there's a lot of rewards when you see the magazine in print.
So what made you make the big jump from magazines and garden writing into actual gardening?
I think I was probably ready to not be driving so far. And also, my uncle has Stocktonbury Gardens. It's 4 acres. And he's, I don't want to tell you his age, but he's getting older. And you know, my sisters and I were really, really passionate about Stocktonbury. It's been in our family for 5 or 6 generations. And we're so keen that it remains in the family and beautifully maintained. So it's really my heartstrings drew me back to Stocktonbury. It was a good time for me to, you know, I'm still fit. I love my gardening. So it made sense to come in and, you know, try and keep it going. So, and I'm still writing and lecturing in the background. But, you know, the garden is definitely the priority for me now.
But I think that writing and lecturing comes to life if the person doing it has dirt under their fingernails. You know, I remember somebody saying of the late Fred Whitsey writing in the Telegraph, you could smell the soil when you read his copy. And I think that's true today. Too many people just sit isolated and completely from gardening, writing about it, and it shows.
But I think also, when you're editing, you don't actually write that much because, like you said, there's so many different things that you're involved with. But when I write now, I find it so much easier than I ever did because you're just writing about what you've seen today. And it's little things that you notice, you know, that, you know, at the moment, all the snail shells are empty. The birds are hungry now. You know, little things that you wouldn't, you can't remember when you're sitting in an office. And I also think that when you're planting a plant, you remember it. When you look at a picture of it, it's not so easy. So it's, yeah, it is much easier, I think, to share something that you're experiencing every day.
Tamsin, it's been wonderful sharing your experiences. Thank you very much indeed. I hope we can invite you back in the summer when Stocktonbury is blooming, you know.
Thank you, Peter. It's a joy to talk to you.
My tailpiece thought for the week really comes from a leading garden goods manufacturer who was heard to complain at the Garden Media Gear Awards that while 70% of gardeners were organic, 83% weren't. And he couldn't understand why garden writers and communicators were almost 100% organic. Well, that minority are pretty vocal, I must admit. And one of my colleagues, who was writing about wood lice, was pilloried for suggesting an insecticidal answer to a problem. I can't think why, because they'd already listed several natural and organic means of reducing their numbers. Somehow the balance is wrong. What I like to do, when I get a query on pests and diseases and that kind of thing, is to give both options and let the gardener decide whether he wants to use peat or not peat, use plastic pots or non-plastic pots. Surely we should just give all of the advice we can and leave the user to decide. Thanks again to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.